Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. On today's episode, it's pretty straightforward. No big news or fight announcements came over the weekend, so we're discussing all things UFC Vegas 85. Headlined by Roman Dolidze versus Nassourdin Imavov. We're going to talk about that fight and what's next, and some of the other big performances on the card. It wasn't the craziest of cards. It wasn't the worst of cards. But it's a good start to what is an 11-week stretch of events. Let's get right into the action. Nassourdin Imavov gets a big victory over Roman Dolidze. For the first time since September 2022, the number 11 ranked middleweight in the world, Nassourdin Imavov, is back in the win column. He gets the majority decision victory over Roman Dolidze. Majority decision, pretty wild to be quite honest, because it was pretty much an easy win for Imavov from start to finish outside of a couple moments here and there from Dolidze. So we'll talk about how we got to those scorecards and what's next for the winner here in Imavov right now. So to be quite honest, this fight was relatively lackluster after the first round. But the first round was very fun. Started out as a feeling out process. Dolidze actually held a good amount of clinch control time in the early parts of the first round. And then Nassourdin Imavov landed a big combination that very, very much hurt Roman Dolidze. Had him on the ground. Imavov landed a ton of strikes, a lot of people scoring that fight a 10-8, as a matter of fact. However, on the official judges' scorecards, which I'm going to flash up on the screen here, only one judge, and that was Derek Clearly, scored the first round a 10-8 for Imavov. As you can also see in round number four, there was a point deducted from Imavov after landing a kick to a downed opponent, which was Dolidze, obviously, in this circumstance. Another one of those instances where the opponent that gets kicked is kind of has their hand on the mat, so they're not grounded, but they are grounded. And then we always have to hear or see something about that rules in the aftermath of the event. And always confusion around this. I think it's happened a couple times now, just in the few short weeks we are into 2024. So needless to say, a point was deducted there. And I guess you would say rightfully so, especially you add in all the drama that happened. Imavov was yelling at Chris Curtis, who was in Roman Dolidze's corner. As you know, him and Chris Curtis have a past. They fought to a no contest last year when they had a clash of heads in the second round. So honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that fight is what's made next here, but we'll talk about that a little bit more afterwards. Let's finish up this discussion about the actual fight we got on the night. That 47-47 scorecard came from Ron McCarthy. He gave rounds 2 and 4 to Roman Dolidze. So not only did he give 2 rounds to Dolidze, which I think is hard to justify, maybe you can find 1 round in there if you look at the rest of the cards. Saudi Amato also gave round 2 to Dolidze, and I think that's pretty much the only one you can justify giving for him. So giving Dolidze round 4 is a bit wacky, but still, even then, the winner would be Imavov in that circumstance, 3-2, 48-47. However, you add in that point deduction, and that is how we got to the 47-47 scorecard, resulting in a majority draw. To be quite honest with you, the right man won, and that's at least the only thing you can hope for in this circumstance when you get a wacky scorecard like that. But to be honest, there aren't a lot of takeaways in terms of the action that we saw. Imavov was the better fighter over the course of 25 minutes, which I had expected. I felt like if you were leaning for Dolidze in this fight as an underdog, you needed him to get a finish. And I think that was a tall task, especially to, obviously you can't foresee the danger that he was in round one, but that clearly affected him the rest of the way through. Imavov just had all of the tools to answer anything that Dolidze threw at him. Dolidze didn't maybe come with the best game plan as that fight went on when he was clearly down on scorecards. He wasn't able to pull anything out, a rabbit out of the hat, if you will, or make the proper adjustments. Imavov fought intelligently, was defensively sound, didn't get put in much danger, and he landed the better shots throughout the 25 minutes. So it was a big win for Nassourdin for sure, his first win since the fall of 2022, as I alluded to here in the beginning. But it's not some big victory that's going to make you think, oh, man, you know, let's go back to Friday and what I said. This is a significant fight for the division, in which it was. It was number 8, Dillidze versus number 11. You know, it's two back-to-back middleweight main events. We just saw at UFC 297, the middleweight title change hands and go to Dricus du Plessis. We're seeing number 8 versus number 11. We're getting movement at the early part of the year for this division. That's a great thing. Unfortunately, the result didn't amount to a significant result for Imovov. So a win's a win. He's going to be top 10 come Tuesday morning. Does he fight a top 5 next? I don't think so. I truthfully feel like they are going to rebook him and Chris Curtis. Chris Curtis is coming off of a victory. You add in the no contest that they have. Nasruddin just beat his teammate Roman Dillidze. They're chirping at each other in the building that night. I think we're going to get Chris Curtis versus Nasruddin Imovov 2 sometime in the spring or early summer. And therefore, Imovov doesn't get the big step that he was probably hoping for, being that a top 5 opponent would be in his future. But let me know what you guys think in the comments below about this fight. And honestly, just more importantly, what do you think is next for both guys? But the winner on the night, Nasruddin Imovov, will he get a top 5 guy after this performance? Or do you think that built-in storyline with Chris Curtis, unfinished business, if you will, is more likely to get ran back? Give me all your thoughts in the comments below. And then we'll just move on throughout the rest of the card. Hinato Moicano got a big win over Drew Dober. I think this was his first ranked opponent victory since 2018 or something like that I saw. It was number 13 versus number 15, a fight that I had projected to go the distance, or to not go the distance, I should say, in a bet. I don't want to talk about betting right now. We'll bounce back. But Hinato gets a win there, number 13, number 15. He's won 4 of his last 5 fights now. Money Moicano continuing to build a big name for himself in the lightweight division. Randy Brown got a big-time one-punch knockout over Muslim Salikov. He's won 6 of his last 7 fights. Randy Brown should absolutely get a top 15 opponent next at welterweight. He's been a guy that has fought a lot of big names if you go back through his career. He's got wins over Chaos Williams, Alex Cowboy Oliveira, Brian Barberena, Warley Alves, and those are all good names. But then you look at the losses that he has, and I think this is where the issue arises in the career of Randy Brown. He loses to Jack Della Maddalena in February of last year. He's lost to Luque. You know, he's lost to Bilal Muhammad, Nico Price as well. But 3 of those 4 are legitimate top 10 players right now in the division. And so does that mean that the ceiling for Randy Brown has already been shown? Do we see that he could be top 15, but he can never crack into the top 10 and make a big run towards title contention? That's a story that I want to see play out, because I still believe that with his size, his length, his reach that he has, and he's very versatile, can get knockouts like this, can get submissions on the ground. Very well-rounded, 33 years old, right in the prime years. I think there's one more chance for Randy to make a run and to legitimately put himself in that top 10, top 7 mix of the welterweight division in 2024. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Natalia Silva, because she improved to 5-0 in the UFC on Saturday night. I think she is one of the most versatile kickboxing women's fighters in the UFC right now. She carries power, she carries precision, she carries technique, and she's only 27 years old. She's getting better each fight. She took a big step up here in fighting the number 7 ranked Viviane Araújo, and she passed. It wasn't, you know, this flawless performance. I believe it was a 29-28. Across the board unanimous, if I'm not mistaken. But I really like the way that she's having this career right now in the UFC. She's making the proper steps up. And really, if you look at it, her debut was against Jasmine Jezudevicius, which is a win that is aging very well. I believe I even said the same exact sentence on Friday's preview show, but Jasmine is showing that she's a legitimate threat on the outside looking in of the top 15 division. She then took on Teresa Bleda and Victoria Leonardo. She got back-to-back TKOs. Then she beat Andrea Lee, a ranked fighter, and now Viviane Araújo. She's going to be top 7 come Tuesday morning. I think that puts her in a spot where she can be 2 more wins away from earning a title fight, and I think that's very, very good and timely for this division if we want to look at the rankings here in the title picture. We have no announcement on what's next for the champion Alexa Grasso, but if I had to guess, we are going to be getting a trilogy fight with her and Valentina Shevchenko after they fought to a draw last year in September. We have Erin Blanchfield and Manon Fiore scheduled to fight March 30th in Atlantic City. That's number 2 versus number 3. And then March 9th, UFC 299, number 4 ranked Caitlin Chookagian is taking on number 6 ranked Macy Barber. So I think there is movement, obviously, which means that Natalia is not just there for a title shot. There are people fighting for a title shot ahead of her. So I think it's perfect timing. She gets this win. She gets to maybe see what happens in March. She's got 4 of the top 6 ranked fighters in her division fighting in a month and a half. By the time this is all said and done, she gets to see that play out. Maybe fights a loser in one of those fights, or maybe gets another fight in with someone like Tracy Cortez, or someone that's behind her, but still an important fight for the division. Regardless, I think if she just continues to win and let the division play out while she keeps winning, if she gets 2 more victories, she's in for a title shot. We saw Charlie Radke play spoiler and get a big upset victory over Gilbert Urbina. Molly McCann had a huge bounce back victory. She had lost 2 straight fights via submission. Now she drops down to strawweight, 115 pounds, and gets a submission win of her own with 1 second left in the first round, pulls off a great armbar to go to 2-0 against Diana Belbita. Great comeback for Molly, something she needed to rejuvenate her career. The amazing story of Thimba Garimbo continues to carry on. He got a massive knockout over Pete Rodriguez in what took just 32 seconds on the feet, something that people weren't expecting. Pete Rodriguez is a kill or be killed guy. A lot of people thought Thimba would utilize his grappling to get the edge and get the victory in this one. Never even sniffed the ground until he put Pete Rodriguez on the ground with his strikes. So those are some of the biggest performances, some of my takeaways from the victories at UFC Vegas 85. It wasn't a crazy card filled with the best action. It wasn't a super memorable card. The way that the main event ends isn't super memorable, but a fight night card is a fight night card. Fights are fights at the end of the day, and it's something we want on Saturday nights. Now we've got 10 more weeks to follow. The next card, Joe Pyfer, Jack Hermanson, another middleweight main event. So that's going to be 3 straight back-to-back-to-back 185-pound main events. Title fight, Dricus du Plessis beats Sean Strickland. This one, Imavov beats Dalidze to jump into the top 10. Now Joe Pyfer on the outside looking in, not even ranked, fighting the number 10, Jack Hermanson. The pieces of 185 are moving, and that's something to be hopeful for in 2024. And that's it for my thoughts on UFC Vegas 85. Again, nothing crazy. It's going to be a pretty short episode here, but there wasn't any news. There weren't a ton of huge takeaways to discuss from this card, but that's okay. We keep moving. We keep churning with this thing. We got 10 more straight weeks of nonstop action coming. So don't go anywhere. It's all going to be here on the Below Average Joes MMA show. Follow along on your favorite social media platform. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Drop a follow and rating on your favorite audio listening podcast platform as well. All support is appreciated. Have a great week, and I'll see you on Friday as we discuss UFC Vegas 86, Pyfer versus Hermanson, and any other news that may drop throughout the week. See you then.